Northeast, real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Brief. President Trump and Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica, spoke before a crowd of tens of thousands at a memorial at State Farm Stadium in Arizona.
That man. I forgive him.
The president teased what he called a major announcement today.
I think we found an answer to autism. How about that? Autism.
The Washington Post expects the administration to unveil new efforts to link it to Tylenol during pregnancy. France has pledged to vote for recognition of a Palestinian state at the UN General Assembly this week. President Macron tells CBS's Face the Nation.
We'll announce a recognition, but which is the beginning of a political process and a peace and security plan. For everybody.
Britain, Australia, Canada, and Portugal all formally recognized statehood yesterday. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. If you lost your job because of the floods, you may qualify for financial help. The state's Workforce Development Agency announced federal disaster unemployment assistance is open to workers and the self-employed in Milwaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties. The support is for those who can't get regular unemployment benefits but had their work cut off by damages, closures, or even job delays caused by the disaster. Applications are due by November 7th. Filing can be done online or over the phone. The push to unionize is gaining momentum at one of Milwaukee's most popular attractions. Employees at Discovery World are moving to join the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. The city of Milwaukee issued a statement of support saying the workers deserve a fair process and protection from retaliation. There's now a lawsuit against the city of Madison for the ballots that went uncounted in November. Savannah Tomei-Olson has more.
193 ballots were found by staff after Election Day, and multiple investigations have found that no one outside the clerk's office was told about it until over a month later. The ordeal led to the resignation of former city clerk Mary Beth Witzel-Bell after 20 years of service, and the Wisconsin Elections Commission declared she violated the law. Now, liberal firm Law Forward has filed a lawsuit on behalf of eight Madison voters. Attorneys representing the voters say staff from the clerk's office had multiple opportunities to correct the errors after they were discovered. That's something city leaders have acknowledged. The lawsuit is asking for damages. If you'll remember, Madison will soon have its new city clerk. Lydia McComas starts in 10 days.
Single game playoff tickets go on sale tomorrow morning. After clinching the NL Central Division title yesterday, the Brewers are guaranteed to play in the division series starting October 4th. Division title merch went up for sale yesterday online and at the team store. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers do it again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers are divisional champs of the NL Central. Although they lost yesterday 5-1 to the Cards, the Reds swept the Cubs. So Milwaukee, divisional champs for a third year in a row. Manager Pat Murphy.
Well, just this team finds a way. They're resilient, and they're guys that have a special it factor.
NFL, the Packers shocked by the Browns, losing 13-10 on a walk-off field goal by Cleveland. Defensive end Micah Parsons.
Man, it's like a movie sometimes how football works. I just think towards the end of the game they played better than us, and we got to play all four quarters of football.
College football, the Badgers losing at home to Maryland Saturday, 27-10, and now headed into the bye.
We've got a challenge. I felt like the culture of this team and the things that we did in the offseason and in fall camp was something that was a lot stronger than what we have had. We're going to find out how strong it is. That's where we're going to have to go because this thing doesn't get any easier.
That's head coach Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
The WAUK Text to Win contest sponsored by Horizons Law Group, where they educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best. Horizonslaw.com.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Might want to pack along the umbrella just in case, as there is a chance of an isolated shower or a thunderstorm this afternoon. Otherwise, a mix of clouds and sun with highs in the mid-70s. A few showers and thunderstorms around tonight, a mild night with low temps in the lower 60s. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
My problem is I don't ever eat fish fries, so when I do it, I overdo it. I ordered a large perch. I ate everything on my plate, and I felt like I wanted to die. And now I don't want to eat fish again, maybe ever.
I know it's a staple to get breaded fish, but if you don't get the bread on it, you know, you can kind of get away with eating more.
I'm not trying to gain weight for football here. I'm like, I just want to have a nice meal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I'll be joined in studio by singer-songwriter Eric Jelen and UW Cinematheque's Jim Healy, and I talk about Robert Redford. Let's light it up state capitol style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Monday morning, September 22nd, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or joining us through social media, podcast, however you got here. Great to have you starting your week right here. I got a question for you. What will you do with your final 7 hours of summer? Because we have just about run out of summertime. Fall officially begins at 1:19 this afternoon, our time, when the sun is right over the equator. Though, let's be honest, it already feels like fall for multiple reasons. Well, the Packers are playing, which sometimes breaks our heart. The Badgers are playing, meh. And the Brewers are playing fall baseball once again, which is pretty cool. So we're leaving summer behind, and so let me ask the question another way. What is the best part of fall in Wisconsin? What's your favorite thing about being here? What's your favorite thing to do? Do you go someplace in particular to see fall colors? Is it about getting to high school football games? Is it some favorite sweatshirts or jackets that you can pull out again? What is it that you like most? We'd love to hear from you about fall in Wisconsin and what makes it so nice. You can put questions or comments to the show all the time, of course, on Facebook and YouTube. That would be the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages, and the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages, or use that Civic Media app and either send us a text message or use the voice note feature and send along a little something about what's so great about fall in Wisconsin. Coming up on the program later today, Kelda Royce has been a candidate for governor for 1 week. She will join us at 7:35 to talk about why she's running and what she thinks will make her stand out from a growing group of Democrats seeking to be the nominee next year to try to succeed Tony Evers and keep Republicans from taking over the governor's post. You can follow Up North News by getting our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. One of the stories today tells you about Wisconsin businesses that are staffed by people living with disabilities. Overall, Wisconsin is coming off back-to-back years of record-high employment rates for workers with disabilities. But keep in mind, that's made possible in large part due to the assistance that people get from Medicaid for health care, therapy, vocational training, and more. And yet, Donald Trump and Republicans have decided to take a meat cleaver to Medicaid. So while you're reading that story in the newsletter today, also get set to hear just after 7 o'clock from Up North News' Selena Heller. And she'll tell you about a Wisconsin mom talking about her adult son and the assistance that Medicaid provides in order to give him some dignity and independence until people like Donald Trump come along who find him to be disposable. Also, back in the newsletter, we've got a link to my story on the current gubernatorial field as we await decisions by Democratic Attorney General Josh Call and Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany. And Tiffany hinting that he may make an announcement on Wednesday of this week. A lot to cover here, so we should ask Parker Olson what he thinks of all of it, since he's producing this wonderful shindig down in Madison at the top of State Street, one block off the Capitol Square, at the world headquarters of Civic Media. Mr. Parker, how are you?
Doing pretty well, Pat. I'm feeling pretty good. I have worked pretty hard to flush two awful losses on the weekend. That's where I'm
at. The Packers and the Badgers, I assume.
Packers and the Badgers. You know, mm-hmm. I watched all of the Packer game. Mind you, my uncle is a Browns fan.
Yes.
I have yet to hear a lot from him, which is very good, because I don't need to hear a lot more about that game. I don't.
Well, I mean, what can you really say, right? I mean,
yeah, you know.
For folks who missed it, the Packers were up. I mean, it wasn't a rout or anything like that, but with 3 minutes left, the Packers are up on the Cleveland Browns 10-3, and they're driving. I mean, it started at about 6 minutes left in the game. So all you got to do is run out the clock.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the word run.
Yeah.
Run out the clock.
Yeah.
There's some dumb penalties in there. And then Jordan Love, I get it, it was third down, right? So, you know, felt the need to throw. Don't know why. You've been handing it to Josh Jacobs the entire game. Yeah, he throws. He says it's miscommunication with Dontavian Wicks. I'm just saying, why are you throwing on third down like that? And as ugly as it was, the Browns intercept. They score. It's 10-10 now. Still time left. But a field goal attempt with 27 seconds left is blocked. Couple of Browns plays later, they try a 55-yard field goal, and it is good, and they win 13-10. Now, you can also blame the offensive line. That, I mean, Jordan Love was sacked, what, five times?
They've got a couple of backups in there.
All kinds of offensive line injuries. I get that. You know, both defenses were very good for this game. And let's see, Tony putting on YouTube, Cleveland's strength is its defensive line. The Packers' weakness is its offensive line.
Yeah.
It was just a bad matchup.
Yeah. Here, the thing for me is that the Packers are good, are due for about two of these kinds of losses every year. So I'm not like raising alarm bells or anything. It's just really frustrating to see it happen really repeatedly under Matt LaFleur, because frankly, it seems like a coaching thing, because it seems like the entire team was sleepwalking through that entire game.
It was boring.
Like, it
was boring. We had already planned to go see a movie. Yeah. So we did not see the very end of it. And
congratulations.
Yes. Thank you very much. That's all Sherry's doing. She's like, it is too early in the season to be sitting down for 3 hours straight, watching a game, sitting on a bar stool. The Brewers are still playing, and so it's tough to get into full Packer mode yet. Fair. It's a nice day out, and so let's go do that. And I was like, yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah. So we saw this movie called A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey with Colin Farrell and Margot Robbie. Okay. You know, complete rom-com, kind of a fantasy rom-com. We'll talk about it later on, but especially I've got a story about losing something under the seats in a movie theater that,
oh boy,
you finish your breakfast first before I share the story. Trust me. Anyway, so I missed the very end, and I'm very happy about that, because I did see that the Packers had like six and a half minutes left. I'm just like, good, just run it out. We'll be just fine.
Yeah.
And you know, as well as I do, we've both said this before. It's one of those games where it's like, well, if they screw up this one, I don't want to be around to see it.
Yep.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So
no, just
anyway, so the Packers move on. They will be in Dallas, and that'll be a Sunday night football game next week.
Oh boy.
So you'll be able to hear that Sunday night game, and you'll be able to hear us sound especially sleep deprived tomorrow or next Monday morning, next week when we're doing this.
You thought the Packers were sleepwalking yesterday? Wait till next Monday when we're sleepwalking through this show.
Wait, well, yeah. Badgers, I mean, you can't even say it was sleepwalking. They were just trounced by Maryland 27-10. The score was 20-0 at halftime with the student section chanting fire fickle. Wisconsin is now 15 wins and 15 losses in Luke Fickle's coaching tenure. They have lost 7 in a row now against opponents from the Big Four conferences. The student section, by the way, was virtually empty midway through the fourth quarter.
Oh, the stadium was empty.
You can, yeah, I mean, and you can't even accuse the fans of being bandwagoners if you're going to play like that. No. The game was billed before the season started as a chance for Wisconsin quarterback and Maryland transfer Billy Edwards Jr. to face his former team, but Edwards hadn't played since he sprained his knee in the season opener. And so Danny O'Neill threw an interception and was working behind an offensive line featuring 3 redshirt freshmen. So once again, the offensive line was not your friend. So the Badgers have next weekend off. And then, as we've mentioned before, the October schedule has the Badgers visiting Michigan, ranked 21st in the country, hosting Iowa, hosting number 1 Ohio State, and then traveling to 6th-ranked Oregon. So no need to watch those games. You put them on your favorite civic media station and you keep some nice football on in the background, because that's what makes fall in Wisconsin great. Tony puts up on YouTube, chopping some wood with a nice breeze off the lake while wearing flannel, sipping a spotted cow while listening to a football game on the radio. Nothing better than that. Amen, Tony. Yeah. That's fall in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But at least there's still baseball. Roger puts on Facebook from Stevens Point, I never expected the Reds to sweep the Cubs. The Reds may still be in the wild card when they play the Brewers this coming weekend. Yes, the Brewers will be playing Cincinnati in the final homestand of the season later this week. But first, they had to get through the series with the Cardinals. And I believe the Cardinals took 2 out of 3.
Yes, 2 out of 3.
And yet, even after the Brewers lost 5-1, minutes later, after that Cubs loss, the Brewers became your Central Division champions for the 3rd year in a row. So playoff baseball is set, and we're very close. I don't have the magic number in front of me to clinching that first round bye.
I believe 4. I think they already have a first round bye. It's just that they're fighting.
Oh, now it's for home field.
For home field for the entirety. They have to stay ahead of the Phillies to get home field throughout NL and World Series if they were to get there.
So there are still things to play for this week, which I always like. It's like, look, you can't just be dogging it yet. There's still things to play for. And for the Brewers, that includes heading to San Diego to play the Padres Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Coverage begins this evening at 8:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. So a little West Coast late night baseball for the Brewers for 3 games, then an off day, and then they're back here for the final homestand against the Cincinnati Reds. Freddie Peralta, by the way, is doing the pitching tonight. So there we go. We've got some things to play for, thankfully.
Yeah, and hopefully Brandon Woodruff.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Why did you? Oh.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
No. I'll be the bearer. Here it is. Brandon Woodford, Big Woo, is out for 15 days. He was put on the injured list yesterday, putting his availability for the playoffs in jeopardy. Woodruff just returned this season after a shoulder surgery in October of 2023. He says he felt something funny in his tricep during a bullpen session on Saturday. An initial evaluation traced the issue to a lat in his upper back. And the news, of course, comes just 4 days after left-handed pitcher Jose Quintana went on the 15-day injured list with a left calf strain. So the Brewers have pitching injuries heading into the playoffs. In other news, the sun rose in the east today. So,
you know the meme of the dog sitting on a chair
sitting and with the fire all around, saying, "This is fine."
That's just how I feel.
Everything's
okay. Fine.
Exactly where we are. Yes. We will continue to look forward to throughout the course of the morning, even despite the things we say about the Packers, the Badgers, and the Brewers. What's great about being in Wisconsin during the fall? Because there's a lot that's cool around here. And I'd love to hear what you like to do. as we start to celebrate what will eventually be this first day of fall all across our beautiful state. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop, overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What's up?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely, but bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
If you're a fan of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the radio, well, let me suggest Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow in your newsletter email box. It's a newsletter we put together with Wisconsin and national political stories that comes out early every Sunday morning. It also includes our question of the week. And this week, the question is, who's to blame if there's another government shutdown? Now, there hasn't been one for a while. They keep kicking the can down the road with these things called continuing resolutions. But it's really starting to look like the middle of next week, there may be a government shutdown for reasons that are explained in the newsletter. So who's to blame? Is it Republicans because they stubbornly don't want to negotiate with Democrats, even though they need Democratic votes to pass a budget? Is it Democrats who should let the Republicans have their way because Republicans are in the majority and they shouldn't be an obstacle? Is it Donald Trump because Mr. Art of the Deal should be able to forge some kind of a deal here? What do you think? The people that get to answer that first and see the question first, sign up for our question of the week. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com and hit subscribe to get our newsletters. You know who else has newsletters? Civic Media, including a new flagship daily newsletter, Civic Media Today. Get signed up for that. Head over to substack.com. The address for the newsletter is civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Tomorrow on the program, Hans Breitenmoser will be along, Cam Stevenson from Washington, D.C., Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be coming up next. Selina Heller not far after that, adding some levity to the program. But before we get to the levity, well, a little bit of seriousness in the news, at least from the standpoint of a political rally that was held yesterday in Phoenix. It was a five-hour rally. Well, I mean, it was billed as a memorial to Charlie Kirk, the right-wing agitator. It was held inside an NFL football stadium, and it featured pretty much every prominent MAGA leader in the country was there. Never have I been so connected to Donald Trump's three favorite words, build that wall. I mean, give away Phoenix, keep everybody there, heal the rest of the country. But it didn't work that way. And the country will not heal based on anything that was said in Phoenix yesterday. Yes, Kirk was eulogized as someone who loved his family and claimed to love his country. And yes, Charlie Kirk's widow did say she forgave her husband's killer. She said, quote, "The answer to hate is not hate." That is not the message that people are taking away from the Hollywood level production that went on, especially when the president of the United States took to the stage and gave a rambling 45-minute diatribe that contained this nugget. I hate my opponents, and I don't want what's best for them. Sorry, Erica. It's okay, because here's the thing. If Trump were the one who had been assassinated and Charlie Kirk were speaking, that quote would not be different by a single word, knowing those two men as much as we do. Now, the president bounced around between honoring Kirk and promoting his own political agenda. He said, for example, an announcement was coming on Monday about autism, which, trust me, will not be rooted in medical science. He talked about sending troops to Chicago, yes, at a memorial service. He talked about the tariffs he'd slapped on foreign countries, the reasons why prices are higher than they were last year when he was promising to lower prices on day one. Remember that? And as he kept getting more political, people were leaving the arena by the hundreds. He told all of the usual lies. Anyone who opposes him must be a, quote, paid agitator. He said he was sicking the Department of Justice on a so-called, quote, network of radical left maniacs who fund, organize, fuel, and perpetuate political violence, end quote. Keep in mind, he dismantled the part of the Department of Justice that was going after the real cause of political violence in this country, of course, coming from the far right. After all, how many of the January 6th insurrectionists are now hiding behind those masks in those deportation raids? There was a great effort by Trump and the others to turn Charlie Kirk into some kind of a martyr, maybe even a saint. Make no mistake, he was neither. And frankly, the window has closed on any chance that Charlie Kirk will be remembered fondly. Here's why. If his murder had come without the vitriol from Donald Trump and the promises of vengeance from people like Derek Van Orden, then maybe in a quieter environment, there would have been time for people who didn't know Charlie Kirk to get some kind of whitewashed version of the things he said and the things he stood for. But the bloodthirsty rhetoric and the shrieking bombast coming from Trump and Vance and Van Orden and some of the speakers in Phoenix only ensured that more Americans are going to make sure that Charlie Kirk's legacy does not get the undeserved opportunity to be romanticized. We've already illustrated the parallels between Derek Van Orden and another Wisconsin demagogue, Joseph McCarthy. In a similar fashion, what happened in Phoenix on Sunday was reminiscent of the rallies that used to be held by Father Charles Coughlin against the policies of President Franklin Roosevelt. Charles Coughlin was the Rush Limbaugh of his time, with a national radio audience in the tens of millions. He used the term social justice, but his positions are more in line with what was being seen in the rise of fascism around the world. Eventually, the man whose angry views were for a time embraced in big audiences on the radio and at rallies was seen for what he was and is now mostly forgotten. That will be Charlie Kirk. Those of us who've known of his words and his work for years before most Americans, we will help keep the history books on the straight and narrow. And the rally in Phoenix, may as well have been held behind a wall. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up and today's history lesson all in just a moment. First, the Midwest Farm Report here across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for Matt and Aaron Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Soon the roads are going to be filled with trucks, tractors, and various other agricultural machinery as harvest moves into full swing. But that may also create some new obstacles on the roads. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, and here with tips on how to safely maneuver around farm equipment is Lieutenant Bill Berger with the Wisconsin State Patrol.
When you're coming on some of these town and county highways, you know, you run into more hills and things like that where visibility might not be as good as on a state or federal highway. Just be aware of that potential, that blind hill. There might be something on the other side of it to be preparing for before you even see it or know it's there. Just be conscious of those type of things. Something else to be concerned with is just be looking for the slow-moving vehicle signs, the SMVs.
Lieutenant Bill Berger, along with us from the Wisconsin State Patrol, he also reminds us that the stopping time for large farm equipment is much longer than typical vehicles due to their weight, so be mindful of that. Find the full conversation with Lieutenant Berger at MidwestFarmReport.com. I've got more agribusiness news coming your way.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
A new proposal in the Wisconsin legislature could make it easier for young farmers to get their start. State Representative Clint Moses is co-authoring a bill that would create a free statewide database connecting retiring farmers and landowners with beginning producers looking for land. The program would be run through the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Farm Center, helping to keep farmland in agriculture, not development. Representative Moses is a beef cattle farmer himself, and he says this bill is all about preserving Wisconsin's farming future. You can find the story at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
The 540 WAUK Text to Win contest is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Might want to pack along the umbrella just in case, as there is a chance of an isolated shower or a thunderstorm this afternoon. Otherwise, a mix of clouds and sun with highs in the mid-70s. A few showers and thunderstorms around tonight, a mild night with low temps in the lower 60s. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
Matt and Air on Air.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night, yeah, because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns.
Right. And my brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for two things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping in
chess. Listen to you laugh.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear.
Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, if you love Just a Bit Outside, the film about the Brewers, you're going to love the new film about Wisconsin sports from Sean Hamish and Paul Jaconi Berry. They're here next time with their exclusive announcement. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Today's history lesson begins with a factual error, courtesy of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Today is not. That was last night. Well, we're off the 21st night of September, and so we just thought we'd throw that out there from this Earth, Wind, and Fire song from 1978. Why did they pick the 21st night of September? They said, no reason.
Just
the line
well.
Just sounded good. Yeah. Yep. Just for fun.
I was definitely singing that song all day yesterday because it makes people happy.
I am sure you were. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here now.
It's a good vibe.
Because if there's somebody that's liable to sing in a car for a long drive, it's her. Or
I wasn't Heller, in the car.
Who is here as well now. So who also makes her share of long drives. So
yeah, I do.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have y'all here. It's funny. I could have gone with that based on the calendar. I could have just as easily gone with we're doing the TV debuts. And if ever there were a theme song that would have worked, it would have been this one from a show that debuted on this day in 1994. Anybody remember the group? Kristen Clavin, just like you. That'd be the Rembrandts, who I guess had already broken up at that point and then realized they could make more money if they got back together now that one of their songs had been picked up by NBC for this new TV show that debuted 31 years ago today.
Convenient.
Good morning, Whiskers. Nice to see you taking up the entire camera again.
Yeah, he just got a bath last night. He's really soft and smells really good.
Let's see, TV debuts. Oh, let me go in reverse order here. 1999 on this day, The West Wing debuted on NBC. 1987, Full House debuted on ABC.
That's that old?
1987, yeah.
Could we reboot The West Wing?
Could we reboot The West Wing? It has been kind of rebooted if your algorithm is set up in such a way. Because that's my TikTok is like, it's West Wing clips all the time. And it's fun getting to the point where I'm like, I don't know if I watched those ones, you know? I mean, I definitely watched seasons 1 through 4, but I may have missed some of the later ones here.
I'd love to see your algorithm, Pat.
Yep.
It's all Get Ready With Me and YouTube, West Wing.
Get ready.
Let's see. 1982 marked the NBC premiere of Family Ties with Michael J. Fox. Now we're really going back. And I'll give you one more. Charlie's Angels debuted on ABC this day in 1976.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the movie reboots with like Drew Barrymore and Lucy
Cameron
Liu
Diaz?
And Cameron Diaz?
No.
Did not? Okay.
No.
I really liked the first. I did. The first one was very campy. I liked it. Then it kind of went off the deep end after that.
I remember arguing with my friends in grade school about which angel I was.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm because you know it was darker.
It was like a boy band thing, you know, like you identified with one of them, so it was like, well, am I more Brie, like more smart and practical, or more like, you know, like Farrah Fawcett's character who had the cool car and the hair? These were complicated issues.
These are the important questions in life.
Your questions were like, which one are you? And ours were more in the, you know, Ginger versus Marianne, you know, Betty versus Veronica, Monica, you know. Okay. Anyway, let's see. Does anybody have a birthday that they would want to wish a happy birthday to coming up or just had one?
My son's girlfriend's birthday was yesterday, which is part of the reason that I was singing that song all day long because I kept calling her and bugging her. Happy birthday,
ready?
Rachel.
Are you ready?
All right. Well, here you go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
What's your girlfriend's name?
Rachel.
Dear Rachel. The reason that's there is that it was on this day 10 years ago in 2015 that the Happy Birthday song's copyright was ruled no longer valid, putting the song into the public domain. And I remember that well. For the first like decades of our radio career, you know, you could not just play the Happy Birthday song willy-nilly because it was licensed like anything else.
Oh, I've got another one. Can I shout out another birthday?
Sure.
Mrs. Marnie Sanderfoot, who teaches special ed at Kakana High School on September 20th. It was her birthday.
My sister's was. Mine is this week. How about that?
Wait, yours is this week?
There we go.
Burying the lead here. Okay. And so when?
Saturday.
Okay. All right. Saturday. Look at that.
You can't make a live appearance for it. Dang it.
I know.
No, I can't.
We don't know your age. We're not going to ask. I just know it's not as old as Tony Basil because today is her birthday and she's 82 years old today.
What?
Yeah.
That's impossible. She's always in high school.
This will never be in high school.
This does not sound like an 82-year-old.
No, does not. But she,
she'd been performing
a long time, doing a lot of choreography, mostly things like that. I remember seeing a story about her a couple of years back. Still very active. Yeah.
Whoa.
Let's see. David Coverdale is 74 years old today. He fronted Deep Purple from 1973 to 1976, and then formed his own band, Whitesnake. Again, David Coverdale is 74 today.
Does this make you want to like dance on the hood of somebody's car?
Again, we're coming back to characters that you are associated with. perhaps so. Happy birthday to Debbie Boone. She is 69 years old today and had the hit of 1977.
Nice.
So many nights I'd sit.
We're not holding this all the way through. You Light Up My Life, but that's the song if you're not familiar with it.
If there was an audio definition of the word schmaltz, that would be it.
That would be it, yes. And yet it was number one for like half the year of 1977. Mm-hmm. And that if anybody goes, how is it that disco was able to make inroads? Well, that's what we were living that's with was the mid-decade era of soft rock. And we were ready for anything. After that, so disco, come on in through the door. By the way, Debbie Boone's dad, Pat Boone, who we've mentioned frequently on this segment, still with us at age 91.
Put out a hard rock album to conjure all the soft rock.
Well, yeah, hard rock, whatever. Andrea Bocelli, the Italian singer-songwriter, is 67. Joan Jett was born the same day. She is 67 years old today. Do you think you were more of a Joan Jett person or a Tony Basil person, you know, with the poppy, preppy cheerleader stuff, or more Joan Jett?
I think I was probably more Tony Basil, but I wanted to be more Joan Jett.
Joan Jett had joined the music scene as a guitarist for an all-girl punk band called The Runaways, and later would form Joan Jett and the Blackhawks. Their debut album was turned down by the first 23 record labels they approached, even though it included this song, which would become a number two hit.
She was like 14 or 15 when she joined the Runaways. I mean, they were children.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ah. Babies. Let's see. On this day in 1975, Sarah Jane Moore tried to assassinate President Gerald Ford. And this was only 17 days after Lynette Squeaky Fromm also fired a gun at Gerald Ford. Both missed. Moore was an accountant, Sarah Jane Moore, and said she wanted to spark a violent revolution to bring change to America. She was given a life sentence. She was released from prison at the end of 2007 after serving 32 years. She is still around at age 95, Sarah Jane Moore. whose claim to fame happened 50 years ago today. On this day in 2003, during the auditions for the third season of American Idol, we got to meet somebody named William Hung.
Oh, boy.
She bangs, oh, baby, when she moves, I go crazy because she looks like a fly, but she stings like a bee, like every girl in history. She bangs,
anyway,
she bangs.
A very lively but still finally bad rendition of the Ricky Martin hit. And you, sometimes you hear something and you go, I think the producers just killed their own show with that. And
no,
I
that
was
helped
wrong.
The show a lot.
I was totally wrong. People just, they loved, couldn't get enough.
Made you smile.
It did. Yeah. So there you go. Let's see. On a more serious political note here, it was on this day 6 years ago that a U.S. intelligence officer made an official complaint about a call made by then President Donald Trump to the Ukrainian president. Trump acknowledged on this day that he did talk about withholding American military aid in an extortion bid to get Volodymyr Zelensky to investigate Joe Biden's son, Hunter. Why did the intelligence officer report this call? Because it was wrong. It was criminal activity, and Congress impeached him for it. But enough Senate Republicans got him off the hook because they chose to condone criminal extortion against a nation under attack. In a somewhat related note, on this day in 1970, President Richard Nixon requested 1,000 new FBI agents to surveil college campuses. All right, let's get to the national day calendar today. Of course, we got the fall equinox. We mentioned that coming up later this afternoon. Today is National Ice Cream Cone Day.
Yes.
So that's a good day.
Go around the horn here. Ice cream cones, you get one flavor. What are you getting, Selena?
Ooh, probably I would like a mint Oreo.
Mint Oreo, Parker.
Do we get toppings?
No, it's an ice cream cone. What's going in the cone?
Well, all right, fine. We'll just do vanilla.
Oh, really?
Parker giving the most Parker answer. Yeah, all right.
Sure. You have to wonder, at what point am I just leaning into it?
Yep. Uh-huh. Kristen?
Oh, that's hard. You know, it's always, I'm that person who stands in front of the counter and just can't make a decision, but I do love
it. I'm getting
that
impression now, yes. So what
Let's talk about the cone. I mean, is it a cake cone?
That's a good point.
A waffle cone?
Does it have the chocolate on the inside? I got till 9 o'clock if you want to wait to answer this thing. I mean,
we could
spend 2 hours.
I do love
like a chocolate peanut butter. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a mood thing.
Tony, I'm surprised Parker didn't put lettuce in his cone.
Ew.
Maybe it's bottom.
Oh, the correct answer, of course, is Haagen-Dazs Belgian chocolate. You'll thank me later. Today is Elephant Appreciation Day and also World Rhinoceros Day. Why does the elephant and the rhino have to share a day? It's a big calendar. I don't know who decides these things. It's apparently National Hobbit Day. Because both Bilbo and Frodo Baggins have birthdays today.
Do we get two breakfasts?
Could be. Yeah. It is still Build a Better Breakfast
Month.
You know how to build a better breakfast? Have two of them.
Okay.
Exactly. Today is Eye Health Week, and it's also Glucose Awareness Week, and it's Rosh Hashanah for the Jewish New Year. So all of that on there, Eye Health or Glucose Awareness. Kristen, you have any words of wisdom from a doctor standpoint on those?
Yeah, a lot of people do not have healthy glucose levels and don't know it because you can't feel it, which is why it's really important to do your routine preventive care as you get older and have those levels checked. If your glucose is high, we can treat it and we can ward off heart disease and lots of other ugliness down the road. So routine preventive care, my friends. Same thing for eye disease.
Very nice. And Tony puts on YouTube, my kids are hobbits. They always eat first and second breakfast.
There you go.
It fits. And just a little bit, Selena Heller is going to have a story for us about a Wisconsin mom talking about her adult son and what these upcoming drastic cuts to Medicaid would do to his dignity and independence. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on 540 WAUK. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize. $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize. Two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota. Download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. Complete rules at civicmedia.us. Sponsored in part by Pickleball Kingdom, a half mile north of Silver Spring off Pilgrim, Menominee Falls.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Why throw your hat in the ring to become governor, especially in times like this?
Folks are tired of politicians who focus on cultural and partisan issues versus delivering real results is going to change lives. And that's what we've done in Milwaukee County. And so my calling is being able to be there for people at my best when people are dealing with their worst times. And as elected officials, as community leaders, that's what we should be focused on.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Hermans.
When we moved here, I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence.
Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should
like,
tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Good morning, happy Monday, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin today. When it comes to the people, the voters, the ones who go to work every day and earn the money, pay our bills, do the things we're supposed to do to be productive members of society, it's a given. We all believe that veterans should be taken care of. Unfortunately, our leaders in Madison don't seem to agree, as a program aimed at helping vets who are having a hard time in life is on the chopping block. And for me personally, and this is just my personal opinion, I think it's reprehensible, and I think you need to know about it because I want you to raise your voice to your local elected officials, your representatives, and tell them to fund this program. But I have Maggie Dawn speaking with Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner. He is from Green Bay, and he represents the 90th District, and they get into the details of what this program does and who, in fact, is holding it back.
Let's turn our sights to some of the, what I'm going to call, really negative impacts of the fact that Republicans in the state's biennial budget really were in the driver's seat. The governor proposes the budget, but you got to get it through. The Robin Voss, let's be clear, the Robin Voss-controlled assembly and the Republican-controlled Senate, they control the Joint Finance Committee. And the governor put in what is an incredibly small amount of funding, right? Yes. It is like less than a couple of million bucks for what is known as, and I want to get the exact name of this correct, the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program, right, which provides housing for veterans who are unhoused, amongst other services. He had the funding in there to continue that program. Republicans, again, the legislature controlled by Robin Voss and the GOP, pulled that funding out. Tell us where we stand and what has just occurred this past Friday in this critical program for veterans across the Fox River Valley.
And truly thankful for us being able to have this, you know, somewhat sad and tough conversation. To give some more context, people should know how the budget process works. As you know, and your audience probably is fully aware, the governor proposes the budget. Then there are a series of listening sessions that are held throughout the state. I went to the one in Northeast Wisconsin that was held a bit outside of Appleton. And we heard from veterans and so many other people about what they need. And housing was one of the major efforts. We were told by the veterans themselves that these amazing places in Bellevue, Chippewa Falls, and Union Grove, those are the three that we're talking about, that cost $1.9 million to keep going, that without any funding, these would close. There was no political poison pills. There wasn't any issues. This was $1.9 million, an incredibly small amount in the budget. And we heard this over and over again through these listening sessions. Unfortunately, we saw that then the next part of the budget process is a joint finance committee, which is, despite the state legislature being closer to 50-50 than it's ever been, thanks to Region Maps, there's 12 members that are Republican, 12 members are Republican, and four that are Democrats, even though the state legislature is closer to 50-50. That body, by a majority vote, voted to eliminate nearly 600 programs. One of those programs was this effort. Then that budget, at the very last minute, literally days before the due date, was sent to the state legislature to pass. Many of these elements were missing, from school funding to other housing programs to this veterans program in particular that people in my district rely on. There were two attempts to actually reinsert this veterans funding in the Senate that had bipartisan support, and then in the assembly. They were both voted down by the majority party to do that. So the budget passed without my vote because it did not fund essential services, including our funding for veterans that are experiencing homelessness. And then they were slated to close. We then in our community had one of the members of Joint Finance, Senator Eric Weinberger, went to meet with the veterans in our community and asked, why did you vote against this? Mm-hmm. And he blamed the governor, said that the governor has an imaginary slush fund that he can just pull out and fund this service. And as we all know, you know, not everyone's
that's also not how budgets work.
And that's
like it has to be appropriated and then expended. I mean, that's insane.
Right. And so, some regular people were a little confused. And so I was very frustrated because we had actually introduced a bill that had bipartisan support that would fund this program, of which Senator Eric Weinberger has refused to sign on to or support. He's doubled down on pointing fingers. And so this is what's so crazy. People expect the government to do a good job, particularly for the folks who fought under our flag. My family experienced homelessness, and I would never want anyone struggling with that to not get the supports they need, particularly when they've given their lives to serve our country. This is not even a partisan issue. People across the aisle agree, but our broken legislature is rather play politics than actually fund an easy bill. So to your point, what happened on Friday on September 11th, the shelter in preparation for closing, because we don't even have a hearing for this item, asked the last veteran to pack their bags and be placed somewhere else. And so they are slated to close without a floor session being called for either of these bills, for something that Republicans and Democrats actually agree on because they were left behind by a problematic political process.
We should be clear that some Republicans in the legislature have stood behind the defunding of the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. And let's be clear about who defunded this program. It is Robin Voss and the vast majority of Republicans in our state legislature. Tomorrow, they could call a hearing,
yes,
fast track this and get the bill before the governor in no time flat if they wanted to solve this problem.
I'm going to play for you another selection from that interview with Maggie Dawn and Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner talking about the importance of keeping a veterans program intact and funded because our veterans more than deserve it. And you want to stick around for that because I'm also going to tell you how to get in touch with your representatives in case you don't know their information. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. President Trump remembered the late Charlie Kirk at a packed memorial at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona.
He led boldly and he argued brilliantly. Without apology.
Kirk's widow, Erica, said she has forgiven her husband's assassin. President Trump teased a major announcement on autism today. Washington Post says officials will tie it to pregnant women who take Tylenol. Major medical groups have dismissed that claim. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder is worried.
One of the things that concerns me is unintended side effects of this. So will women end up taking other medications like aspirin or ibuprofen during pregnancy? Those actually can be dangerous.
Today, France is expected to join the growing list of countries recognizing Palestinian statehood. President Macron tells CBS's Face the Nation.
Recognizing a Palestinian state today is the only way to provide a political solution to a situation which has to stop.
CBS News.